Please stand for a reading from God's Word. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house in the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things in her heart and pondered them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Please be seated.
Good job. Good afternoon. My name is Neil Tomb. I'm the senior pastor here, and I want to welcome everybody. We are glad you are here this afternoon. I have a couple reports. It looks, I'm pretty sure it's not going to snow, okay? And secondly, those of you who know me, I don't want this to be a distraction. Those of you who know me are going to notice that I'm moving a little slower than normal. I was crossing Northwest Highway. Reindeer just clipped me when I wasn't looking. Not really. I just had a little trouble with the stairs that I've gone down at my house about 1,000 times previously and just couldn't quite navigate it Monday morning. So I got a little ankle. It'll be okay. This Advent season, we have been reminding ourselves that there's a God in heaven who keeps his promises. And the thing we're going to look at tonight that we are promised is this, that God is with us and God wants to be with us. And just to help us focus here, I want to say a couple things. One, I want to encourage you. I know a lot of us are going to be running from here to a party, to dinner, some kind of thing. And I want to encourage you just to try to take a moment and say, as best as I can, I'm going to be all here right now. And secondly, I want to make sure our cell phones behave, okay? So let's take our cell phone out. Really, let's physically take it out, touch it. You know you like to touch it all the time anyway. And just however you make sure it behaves, like power it off, take a hammer to it, put it on focus, whatever you need to do there. And then also, speaking about behaving, how many kids do I have in this service? Kids, raise your hand real high there. Okay. So parents, let me just say this. Although I want your cell phones to behave, I do not expect that your kids are going to behave, okay? We're going to take a pass on that tonight. We are so glad that they are here. And as I like to say every Christmas Eve, the kids are actually going to help us know that even though we like to think of it as a silent night when Jesus was born, it might not have been all that silent. That it very well could have happened in a way where there was some cattle lowing and some sheep bleating or whatever it is sheep do. And so when your kids are making noise, they're just helping us. Remember, there might have been some wild animals or tame animals around when Jesus was born. So tonight, I get to light the Christ candle, our last candle for Advent. And as I light it tonight, we think hard tonight on this idea that the God who created all things by the word of his power shows up as a baby who has to learn to talk. And that and so much more, so that his presence might be with us forever. Let's pray. And Father, by the good work of your Holy Spirit, I pray that in some way, you would meet us here tonight. that for those who need to know that you really matter to them, you would meet them here tonight. For those of us who maybe have done this thing many times before, would you give a freshness to our hearts here? May you help us live as people who really are aware Christmas is about the coming of God to the earth. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Please stand as we worship here together.
Thank you. Yeah. be so wonderful singing with you all. Please be seated.
As we reflect today in this Advent season on the coming of Jesus, we can know that we worship a promise-making, promise-keeping God. When the New Testament writers reflected back on the coming of Jesus, the very glory of God in the flesh, they saw in him the fulfillment of all of the promises God had made through his prophets of a coming Savior.
The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us.
But you, O Bethlehem, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days.
And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever.
A voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all the flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken.
He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Okay, y'all, this is Lily. Will you welcome Lily here? Whoa, Lily, you got a fan club there. You ready for this here? Okay, just want to remind everybody why we're doing this, okay? What you just heard was just a few of the 70 major prophecies of the first coming of Jesus. In the Old Testament, the prophets told us where he would be born, what he would look like, who his family line would be, among lots of other things. And what we have said this Advent season is that Jesus, if you just took 8 of those prophecies, the odds of those being fulfilled in one person is this number here, 1 in, you know that number? Say it for me.
1 quadrillion.
100 quadrillion, that's a big number. You got a better chance of winning the Powerball lottery. Now, so Lily, here's your deal. There's only 4,998 coins here. I had 5,000, but the first 2 hours, the kids took them. And so I've marked one of these coins. And if you pick the right coin, you're the 11th person who's tried to pick a coin here. I've decided I'm up in this. You'll get a $300 Amazon gift card, okay? Yeah, so now you guys got to give her a really loud drum roll, please, okay? Lily, let's make it happen here. Go for it. Okay, you need to pick because I got to preach. Sorry, Lily, but here you go. Here's a whole stack of $1 coins, okay? You're welcome. Okay, give Lily a hand, y'all. All right. The birth of Jesus tells us clearly we have a promise-making God who's a promise-keeping God. Amen. And tonight, here it really is the one thing that I want all of us to take away. The birth of God shouts to every person in this room, God wants to be with us. Got it? God wants to be with us. And I'm going to ask us all to say it here just in a second. And I want you to think, I'm not asking you to say it just for you. That part of why we gather together is to help one another, and that we're gonna say it out loud together because we're helping one another. Got it? Okay, let's say it. God wants to be with us. I want y'all to imagine this. Imagine God is not present in our world. I wonder what it'd be like. I want you to imagine that you, or maybe I get a word from God before coming here tonight, and God says, I'm not gonna show up at your Christmas Eve service. What would you do? It would be almost as senseless as if you decided you guys were gonna have a big 65th birthday party for me, okay? That happens in July, July 7th. You can start ordering your presents now. But let's say you're gonna have a big party for me. You spend thousands upon thousands of dollars and I don't show up. It would be ridiculous, right? And tonight we are here because God came and somehow we believe that God wants to be with us. You know, Mary and her people, the Israelite people, over the years in the Old Testament, the one thing they knew was this, that God's presence was the ultimate provision, protection, and peace that all of them needed. And this thing happened, even though we had all these prophets, that there was this 400-year period before the birth of Christ, there was no word from God. Silence. And I am sure there were people, when you start talking about the presence of God wants to be with us, I'm sure there were people at that time that would have said, I'm not sure. I'm not sure God wants to really be with us. And frankly, sometimes in the world, it doesn't feel like God is present. One of the promises we're going to look at tonight, as Matthew reflected on it, in Matthew chapter 1, he's thinking about something that actually happened hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus. It says in Matthew 1:22 that all this took place, the birth of Jesus, how it happened, where he was going to be born, all these things. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. That's right. And you know, Mary seemed to get it at some level that first Christmas, that when the angel came to her and said, you're gonna have a son, and Mary has this time where she's talking with one of her relatives, this time of rejoicing, and she says an interesting thing. She says, let it be done according to your servant. And she breaks out into song. And you know, when you really know there's someone coming whose presence you really want, you feel joy, right? Kids, how many of y'all have watched Elf this Christmas season? My favorite part is when, you know, Elf is gonna be in the presence of Santa. He's in New York and he hears Santa's coming. And what does he say? Santa, I know him, I know him. And I submit to you that you can't really sing the songs of Christmas in a way that really matters in your heart if you don't have this sense that the present that we need more than any other present is the presence of God. I want you to know the story behind this verse. Hundreds of years before God with us was in Mary, there was a king in Judah, and he was in a heap of trouble. He was getting overwhelmed, and there were some enemies coming after him. And the Bible says about that particular moment that the king of Judah and the people of Judah, their hearts were like the trees of the forest shaking in the wind. And God said, hey, I've got a promise for you. I want to encourage you. And it's the first time we hear these words from God where God said, listen, a child's going to be born, a virgin's going to have a son, and his name is going to be Emmanuel, God with us. And it was God saying, listen, listen, King, let's get really clear. The provision, protection, presence, peace that you need more than anything else is my presence. And that king, that particular day, did something really stupid. Made a catastrophic, short-sighted decision. And what he did is he said this, I'm gonna go pursue the presence of another king. It was a violent, brutal, wicked king. And he went to the king and he said this, listen, I'll be like a son to you. You be like a father to me. Be nice to me. And he said, I'll be your servant. And I wanna just remind us that we will always become the servant of anything that we decide is our ultimate provision, our ultimate protection, and our ultimate peace in life, right? And you know, it happens not even necessarily with bad things, it happens with good things, right? My child, my job, how people view me, whatever it is. If it becomes my ultimate provision, protection, and peace, I will be a servant to that thing. And it's fascinating that when God comes to Mary, says, Emmanuel, God with us, Mary says, let it be done according to your word. I'm your servant. Now, I want us to know that this Emmanuel, God with us, and God wants to be with us thing, it actually didn't start when Jesus was born. This is actually the story of your whole Bible. It's the story of your whole Bible. It's Adam and Eve in the garden living with God with them. And they probably didn't feel it so acutely that he was their protection, provision, and peace until they sinned in the garden and they're out of the place. Yo, let me tell you, the story of the Bible is God wants to be with you, Emmanuel. You know, some of you have heard the story of the Israelites going through the desert, and God says, make me a tent. What's that about? And they got the presence of God, fire by night, cloud by day. God wanted to be with them. God wants to be with us. And as I thought, man, I just want to convince people tonight from the word of God that God wants to be with us, that really the present that you and I need more than any other present is the presence of God. I thought, you know, some people are gonna wonder, is this really practical? Is this really real? And I want you to know, some of Israel's greatest leaders, they lived as this thing was super practical. I'll give you one, maybe I'll give you a second one. We'll see how we're doing. Moses is the guy who's gonna have to lead millions of people through the desert. Moses, he so believed God wants to be with us. There was this moment in the book of Exodus where God's people, as we tend to do, started running for another presence. They wanted some assurance that they wanted to know they were gonna be okay. And so they make this weird golden calf deal. And God finally comes to Moses and God says, hey, Moses, I'm kind of done with all this. But I'll tell you what, Moses, we're gonna make a deal here. I'm gonna give you the land. I'm gonna get you to your dream. I'm gonna send a bodyguard for you in the form of an angel. The thing you guys have always heard, we're gonna have a land. I'm gonna give it to you, but, and then God said this, I'm not going with you. No God with us here. Now, if God said that to you, I want you to try to put your yourself in Moses' shoes, what would you say if God said, I'll give you your greatest dream, but you don't get me? I'll give you whatever present you want under that tree. I'll give you a better marriage. I'll give you a better life. I'll give you a better job. If you're not married and you want to be married, you'll be married. Whatever present you want, you're going to get that, but I won't be with you. What would you choose? Yo, this was so real, so practical to Moses that we actually have his response to this. And we're told in Exodus 33, verse 15, that Moses said to God, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. Cancel the trip. Stop the buses. I would rather be in the wilderness for a lifetime with you than have all my other tangible, real dreams come true. And y'all, look, I'm gonna remind us that you read the story, you realize Moses was a real person. And I can imagine that the temptation for Moses, wow, I can get what I can see right now, right? Again, as I was thinking about how do we wrestle with this? Because really, Emmanuel, God with us, there's a mystery here, right? And some of you might think, why isn't this a greater part of our experience? Well, I think it might be, you know, for Moses, just we kind of run after the things that are right in front of our face, right? I also think, you know, Moses was a pretty capable guy. He was a pretty capable leader. And our tendency is, I'll gather up my resources. Hey, you know, we're a church. We got a lot of resources here, right? I'll gather up my resources. I'll con my contacts. I'm very educated. And my first step will be, I'll work this thing on my own. And Moses says, I'm gonna prioritize the presence of God. And right in that moment, I'm gonna take everything I have and I'm gonna just say right now, no, God, if you're not coming, I'm not gonna go without you. Just so you know how practical this is, I wanna share a personal story here. While I was senior pastor here quite a while back, pretty close, if not the absolute most difficult time in my life. What was happening really doesn't matter for this, but I'll tell you, I would wake up in the morning those days, and these were the exact words that would come to my mind when I would open my eyes. I cannot do today. I cannot do today. And it's been interesting to see the people shake their heads when I say that these last three services. Because some of you really understand when I say, I cannot do today. I can't go to the office. I can't prepare a sermon. I cannot do today. And here's what happened. By the gentle urging of the Holy Spirit. And I want to make this clear, y'all, that this wasn't just Neil Tomba mustering something up. That you know, believer, Jesus said to some disciples, he goes, it's actually better that my physical presence leaves right now because I want you to have my presence indwelling you. And by the gentle urging of the Holy Spirit, I thought, okay, what I can do is grab my Bible, put my feet on the floor and walk upstairs and do what one writer described this way, practice the presence of God. Practice the presence of God. And for me, that was just Bible open. God, I'm here. I don't even know what to say. I can't even think about what's next. But I'm here. Now, I want to tell you what did not happen in the following weeks, days, and months. I did not get the fire by night. I didn't get a cloud. I didn't get this kind of jolt of energy. But I want you to know, I look back on those days and I say, I don't want to relive them, but I wouldn't trade them. Because in a very real way, I experienced the presence of Emmanuel, God with us. And I believe that is something that is available to all those who come to the baby in a manger who was God. Just to close and make this as practical as I can, how do you practice the presence of God? First, I want to say to those of you here, and I want you to hear this because I have a lot of friends that we talk about this, friends who say to me, man, Neil, I'm just not there with the Jesus thing, and I'm not sure. And I just want to say to you, and if my friends are here listening, I want to say to you this. At least when you see the manger, I want you to at least think this. God wants to be with you for eternity. God really does want to be with you for eternity. That's why he went through all of this. And that when you're ready, it's like taking a package from under the tree and unwrapping it with your heart by praying, Jesus, I believe in your perfect life, your death on a cross, and your resurrection, and I want you for all eternity. Now, I feel like God put this on my mind for this Christmas Eve, and I don't think I've ever addressed the group like this before. I want to say something to those of you who feel rather apathetic and maybe have been kind of apathetic the whole time here. First, I want to say I'm not even criticizing here. I'm just acknowledging that there's some people here that you came out of maybe respect for your friends, out of tradition. It's the thing you do. And I want you to hear this evening that the baby in the manger says to us, God is not apathetic towards you. Even if you're apathetic toward him, he is not apathetic towards you. And here's how you might practice the presence of God this evening in this moment. You could just say, okay, God, you know I'm apathetic towards you. And I'm just gonna ask you, would you wake up my heart like Mary's, or would you help me to prioritize your presence like Moses, to really believe it's that real, okay? Every Christmas Eve, I actually try to have one thing for you corporately as you go out with your families to eat. And here's the way I want to encourage us to practice the presence of God. When you're sitting around a table, you're sitting with some friends, that you could be the one who says, ask this question. Do we really believe God wants to be with us? And then just see where the conversation goes. That you would ask, do we really believe God wants to be with us? Now, before we leave tonight, I want to just give you a moment for yourself individually. The worship team's going to sing over you, Emmanuel, God with us forever. And here's how I want you to encourage you to practice the presence of God right now. That you would pray, God, help me. Help me right now to see how much you want to be with me. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Holy, Thank you so much for joining us on Christmas Eve to worship. We just ask that you remember to drop your candles off in one of the baskets on your way out. And it is our prayer that you have experienced the presence of God in this room tonight. And as you go, we just want to wish you a very Merry Christmas. We'll see you next time.